Amen.
Amen.
God is good to us.
Yes.
And I might add, He is still good to us. He was on yesterday, and He still is on today. All of us have a blessing that we can be thankful for. I don't know what your blessing may be, but every one of us has something to be thankful to God for. If it's nothing more than rising up this morning, God has been good to us. And He is our King. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the second book of Corinthians in the first verse, starting at verse number 9, starting in the first chapter at verse number 9 and ending with verse number 10. Before we go any further, first of all, let me say good morning to everyone. To those of you I have not spoken to and to those of you I have spoken to, good morning again. Let us be thankful and ever grateful to God and give Him our undying love. Let us now go to God in prayer. O righteous, wonderful, and mighty Heavenly Father, there is so much that we have to be thankful to You for, O Lord. There's just the fact that You put breath in our bodies this morning, that You raised us up from our sleeping and slumbering on last night, that You put food in our stomach, that You gave us a roof over our head. And that's not all, Father. We owe You so much. And rather than try to call off a list of things, Father, let us all just say thank You. Thank You because You have done so much for us and You continue to do so very much for us. This morning, Father, we are praying because we are here. We are praying because You are our Heavenly Father. We are praying because without You, we have nothing and we are nothing. Thank You, O Lord, for everything. This morning, Father, we pray for our congregation here, and we pray for the membership, the leadership, as well as the families of the membership and the leadership. We pray this morning, Father, for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, and we thank You for those who shall come from this point on. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that all is well as can be expected with us, O Lord. Father, we thank You that there are many today who are grieving the loss of loved ones, and we're just praying for them, O Lord, that if it be Thy will, that You would show them a future of brightness rather than a dark day of sadness, O Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father. Thank You for everything. Thank You for this world in which we live, O Lord. It's a world that's not a peaceful world, but we just thank You, Father, that we are able to call out Your name and pray on behalf of peace. We pray this morning, O Lord, for the churches everywhere as they have begun to open their Bibles this morning, that the members have begun to look down at the Scriptures and that the teachers have been teaching and the preachers shall be preaching or are preaching. And we just pray, O Lord, that You be with this congregation. Be with everyone this morning who are members of the body of Christ, O Lord, and be with the churches, especially those who display the truth in their services, O Lord. Father, we thank You for those who are busy fighting wars everywhere. We pray, Father, that one day peace shall come into this world. Not only around the world, Father, but we're praying for peace around our corners as well. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that peace may come from house to house, O Lord, and from person to person. Thank You, Father, for everything. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we move on into this portion of our services, please, if it be Your will, be with us, watch over and keep us, and if what we do can be found acceptable in Thy sight, we pray for Your blessings, O Lord. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, who marched up Calvary's hill and went all the way to yonder's cross, we can stand at the bottom of the hill and look up and see the cross, and on His behalf, we ask it all. Let us all say amen. From the text of 2 Corinthians, verse number 9 says, But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and do deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. From that text, we want to take for a message, He who delivered us. He who delivered us. I know you've probably heard message after message about what a friend we have in Jesus. Yet many church folk don't seem to take Him too serious. They seem to more so take Him for granted. in the world, well, many have not given the matter very much thought at all. When we look at it, there's a lot that we have been delivered from. And yes, we all need that reminder from time to time to keep us in the pathway to heaven, or to keep us on the pathway to heaven. This is what the Corinthian writer was trying to do here in our text. He was discussing or suggesting or offering comfort through the Word of God. As hard as we may fight the notion, all men need deliverance. All men have been sinners. All men still are sinners. And not, as I often tell you, you may not be an active sinner, but you are still sinful. This morning, as we go on into our text, I want to show you, first of all, that Jesus, He delivered us through His sacrifice. According to the text, we were at a point of no return, and death was all that was left for us. And I want you to notice the text in where the Bible says we had a sentence of death in ourselves. In other words, we were without any human form of deliverance. But out of the misery of our sin and despair, the Father sent His Son to deliver us. He delivered us from darkness and its power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verses 13, the Bible says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." We were powerless to deliver ourselves. The text tells us that when we should not trust it, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. How many times and how many ways does God have to show us that we are and we were incapable of delivering ourselves? If God can raise the dead, what can He not do? Still, we are living in times where unbelievers will not accept the Word of God. There are many folk who just don't believe the Word of God. We have been given redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 9, and Ephesians 1 and verse number 7. Though His sacrifice was voluntary on Calvary, we have been delivered. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 26, we are told, "But now He has appeared once for all at the end of ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of Himself." This man, after he has delivered us, after He has been our sacrifice, He still is working with us today. And I know a lot of folk, you hear folk all the time who say, "God is working with me. He's still not done with me." And some of them, you wonder if He's even in their presence by the way that they act. Some of them, you wonder if they really even know who God is. But then when you go back to the text, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead." You see, now what He is saying there is that we can't do it. We can't trust ourselves to deliver ourselves, but only through Jesus Christ. Just how great is being freed from sin? Well, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 10, we are told this: "We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once and for all." That sacrifice is forever. But this man that we speak of this morning, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He accomplished once and for all what all men could never do. One man, one time, one sacrifice equals forever. And you got a church, you got to know that God is still working with us again today. Then not only did He deliver us, He delivers us from sin's power, from the power of sin, if you will. I often wonder what some of us would do if God billed us for what Jesus did for us and what Jesus is doing for us. Some of us would say, "I can't afford it," and that would be the right answer. Some of us would say, "Well, I can't afford to pay Him, but I'll try my best," and that's a good answer. Then there would be some who would say, "Well, I don't know how to pay Him." And some who may even decide to tell the truth and say the Lord and tell the Lord that the death is too great for them to bear. But thanks be the Lord for delivering us anyhow. Look at verse number 10, if you will. who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. He delivered us from death and from so great a death. But let me just try to put this in here while I'm here. Every now and then, some of us, we get the feeling that thank God that God has delivered us, but some of us never get that feeling. But I'm glad that we as Christians know that we ought to be thankful to God all the time, not just some of the time, but all the time. And while I'm right around in this territory, let me just talk about this payment again. If we paid Him like some of us put in the collection on Sunday, do I need to say more? If we paid Him like we put in the collection on Sunday, God would be very underpaid. And we would consider ourselves as overpayment. And so I asked the question, would that be fair if we paid Him like we pay Him now? I'm just asking. Certainly I believe that most of our lives are more valuable than what we give on Sunday morning. Certainly I believe that most of our lives are more valuable than the way we treat the Master. And most certainly of all, I believe that some of us could do better. But then that's a different subject. What we give Him, especially in the light of what the Bible tells us to give Him in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, around about verse number 2, the Bible says, let every one of us lay in store as God has prospered him. How has He prospered you? How has He prospered you? Well, number one, He has saved your life. He has given His life that you may have your life. He has given His life that we may have everlasting life, if you will. But I just want to thank God. I just wanted to put that out there for you to chew on in your thankful conscience. How much has He done for us? Well, He delivered us from sin and is keeping us from the power of sin daily if we let Him. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercessions for them. So God is still interceding on our behalf. What does that mean? Jesus is in between God the Father, is God the Son and God the Father. And I thank God that He's in there, because I know something about myself, and I'm not going to talk about anybody before I talk about myself. I know that I need Him to intercede on my behalf. And the truth be told, you need Him to intercede on your behalf as well. Without God interceding for us, if we live back in the Old Testament times, you know where many of us would be right now. But thank God that He sits there and He intercedes for us. Yes, He is still keeping the power of sin at bay from us, church. How much can He who delivered us do for us without us considering what we ought to be doing for Him? He doesn't ask us to do half of what He has already done for us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verses 13, the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Keep His commandments. And that is the whole duty of man. We've got to learn to keep the will of God, because that's our duty. And I know how we like to say, and I say this all the time, we like to say that some of the scriptures are just too hard for us to keep. I can't enjoy life. Well, you can enjoy life now or suffer the consequences later. You can enjoy life now or suffer the consequences later in hell. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3 and verse number 4, we know Him if we keep His commandments. But if we don't, watch this. He that says, I know Him and keep not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. As you can see, all of us are asked to do His will. All of us are asked to do His will for our lives. We are waiting His final deliverance. Look at verse number 10 again. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. See, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. What a beautiful thought that verse shows. It lets us know that even though Christ has already delivered us, we can count on Him to deliver us later also. We have His promise that He will come back for us according to John chapter 14, around about verse number 3. When you think about it, church, when you think about it, we need to be ever thankful to God because He has done enough for us already, but He hasn't stopped doing for us. How shall He return, somebody may ask. How shall He return? Well, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verses number 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We've got a promise, church, that we will rise first. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, according to 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. But the question that should be on all of our minds right now is, am I ready to meet our deliverer? Are you ready to meet your deliverer? Are you washed in His blood? Are you prepared for the judgment? We are not prepared if we have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, of Him who delivered us. Some may say, well, my spouse is ready. Some may say, well, my parents are ready. And others may say, well, even my children are ready. But that doesn't make you ready because your family is ready. You've got to get ready for yourself. But having your family ready doesn't make you ready. When we become ready, when we become as in Psalms chapter 35 and verse number 9, where the Bible says, my soul shall be judged in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. We've got to be able to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. When you think about it, church, why would you not want to be associated with someone so good as Jesus, someone who has done us so well as Jesus Christ? Why would you not want to associate yourself with, you know, you make a logical, you make a decision based on what you want to do. All of us do. We make a decision either I'm going to follow the Lord or I'm not going to follow the Lord. That choice is yours. When you think about it, when you do your balance sheet, you look at all the good things that the Lord has done for us, and then you look at the bad things that man has done to us. And you ask yourself, which side do I want to be on? So then, when you think about it, church, in James chapter 1 and verse number 21, the Bible tells us we ought to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of righteousness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. In other words, get rid of all things that are contrary to the word of God. He who has delivered us before, He who delivers us now, and He who shall deliver us in the future is able to change anyone's life that come to Him. Have you come to Him yet? Have you came to Him yet? So in the text of verse number 10, watch it again. In number 10, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. It speaks of His timetable of deliverance, if you will. It speaks of how we can get ourselves together because we've been warned that Jesus is coming back again. There's only one way one can find himself in this lost world. That is through Christ Jesus. That's the only way one can find himself. The process is heart-rendering and soul-saving. It must be done from the heart and that your soul might be saved. Step number one is first, one must hear the word of God according to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Step number two, he must believe with all of his heart according to Romans 10 and verse number 10. Step number three, we must repent of our past sins according to Luke 13 and verse number 3. And step number four, we must confess Christ to be the Son of the living God according to Matthew 10 and 32. And last but not least, one must be buried with Him through baptism in water according to Mark 16 and verse number 16. Have you done all of these steps? Have you put yourself in alignment with the Lord? Or are you still sitting on the sideline saying, one day I'll get ready, but I'm not ready this day? But you see, the only bad part about saying I'll put it off for tomorrow is that you may not be around tomorrow. How many people have said, I'll do it tomorrow, and then they were not available on tomorrow to do it? How many people have said, well, just give me a little time. I use that excuse before myself, so I know it's a time-tested excuse that we can use. I'll wait just for a little while. I'm not quite ready yet. Well, what are you waiting for? Why are you not ready? And then when you ask yourself, what are my alternatives? What can I do if I don't get ready? Well, let me just kind of put it plain and simple. If you don't get ready when time comes for you to face the judgment, you're headed straight to hell. Now, I don't know if God is going to actually send you to hell. That's His privilege, because He's the one that saved us, and we will be standing before a righteous judge in the end. Can I ask one of the brethren, the front door is standing wide open. Can someone close the front door? We don't want it to send the air conditioning out in the heat. But think about it, church. Think about it. If you have not followed those five steps, you ought to get yourself ready to follow those five steps right now. That's Jesus giving His word that one who is baptized will be saved, but He is not guaranteeing that you will get to heaven. That's up to us. The key is continuing to believe in Christ and continuing in the faith and believing in Christ Jesus according to His will. In other words, the steps will put you on the right road, but we must stay the course. How many times have you asked for directions while traveling, but you decide, well, I'm going to take a detour? And then the person that gave you the directions gave you the right direction, but you want to go in a different way because you know more than you thought you knew. Well, that's what it's like when you get into Christ. You either follow His way or you go another way. There's no in between. There is no in between. Then somebody said, well, preacher, I'm just not feeling that. I'm just not with that. I'm not getting the best of life if I become a Christian. Well, look at the text again. Look at the text in verse number 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. There's the key right there. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. But in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from a great... who delivered us so great from such so great a death, that do deliver up in whom we trust, that He will yet deliver us. Now, I tell you something, church, as my time draws pretty near now, I got a little bit more time, but I just want to tell you, if you don't trust in God, who can you trust in? If you don't trust in God, where are you going to... You know that old saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket, but I'm telling you, put all your eggs in the basket of Jesus Christ. You won't go wrong. And somebody's, well, maybe thinking to themselves, well, preacher, I tried to be a good Christian. I tried it before. And I missed out on so much. I got some news for you. You haven't missed out on half of what you're going to miss out on. You haven't missed out on the best of what life has to offer you in death. You will be missing out on the best of what life has to offer you in death. And then there are those who say, well, I think in just a little while I'm going to be all right with the Master. I think in just a little while I'll just get up one morning and I'll be all right with the Master. I think in just a little while before I die, I'm going to get right with the Master. I think in just a little while, I'm going to make up my mind. But what about if you don't get that little while to make up your mind? What if that great death that Jesus took us from, what if it comes before you make up your mind? What happens when you don't get a chance to reach in till tomorrow? What happens when your life is not extended? See, we all got up this morning, but we didn't have to. We all got up this morning, but we didn't have to be in our right minds nor our right bodies. We all got up this morning, but God saw to it that we raise our eyelids, our sleepy, heavy eyelids, and then raise our heads up off of our pillows. And then when He raised us up, we should have got on our knees and said, "Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from last night." See, when you're sleeping, you can't help yourself. You can't do anything for yourself. About the only thing you can do for yourself when you're asleep is you might cough yourself and wake yourself up, but that's about it, church. When you think about it, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver. That's the part that I'm hung up on, church. I'm hung up on the part that He is still going to deliver us in the future. I'm hung up on the part where it says that whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. See, I can't trust in you all the time, and you can't trust in me, so I don't want to make it sound like it's just you. We can't trust in one another because men are men and they are feeble at times and they will let you down. Isn't that right? How many times have you been let down by a man, church? How many times have you been asked a person to do something for you and it just doesn't work out? How many times have you asked someone, "Can I count on you to do this?" And you find out just a little later on that they didn't do that. But the Bible says that whom delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, to whom we trust that He will yet deliver. You know, there's something about trust, church. There's something about trusting in someone. And I know spouses trust one another all the time. I know that boyfriend and girlfriend trust one another all the time. I know that sometimes we trust our parents all the time. But I tell you something, church. Sometimes it just doesn't seem right that we put so much trust in somebody. And then they let us down. And then it hurts us. And then we get into a situation where we don't want to trust no more. Well, it doesn't work like that with the Lord. You can trust Him. You can put all of your trust in Him. You can say, "Lord, I trust You with my life," because whether you want to admit it or not, He holds your life in His hand anyhow. And so you can make up your mind to say, "Well, I'm going to follow You, Lord, and just stay in Your hand," or "I'm going to step out of Your hand and try to run this race all by myself." But in running a race all by yourself, you sometimes run afoul of the rules of the race. And when you run afoul of the rules of the race, you can be disqualified. And if you become disqualified, then you no longer are in the race. But with the Lord, if you trust in Him, you can stay in the race. How many times have you said to yourself, "This old life is hard for me to follow, but I'm going to follow it anyway." Or how many times have you said, "It's more than I can bear, and I'm just going to get off the track for a little while." And when you got off the track, you realize life without Christ is not the same anymore. Life without the Master in my life, the one who delivered us from so great a death, is not the same without Him. I tried it myself, so I speak of what I know about. I know some of us have tried and tried and tried, but we can't find the right mix to do it right without the Master. So you need to let the Master deliver you. He's already delivered you, so He's got a track record. And He's still working on our behalf right now, but He will deliver us in the future as well. So can you trust in Him just for a little while? Life is not that long. Life is not that long. Life is short. Death is certain, and there's no way of getting around it. You know, if somebody could come up with a pill that would extend our life, do you know how rich that person would be? Because everybody would want a pill, and a lot of us probably wouldn't be able to afford it. But Christ is the magic in all of our lives. He is the one who can put life in us. He is the one that can raise the dead, according to the Scriptures. He is the one that deliver us. He is the one that can still deliver us. He is the one that we need to trust in from now on. And I understand sometimes it just seems as though God can't do what I need Him to do for me right now. He's probably too busy. But didn't He tell us to ask for what we want? Didn't He tell us that His yoke was easy and His burden was light? Didn't He tell us, church, that He would give us supply all of our needs in the Philippians letter? Didn't He tell us to just stay there with Him and trust in Him? Trust in the Lord and you won't go wrong. And I know that being delivered, everybody knows what being delivered means. That means I've been taken away from my sins. I've escaped. I have escaped from my sin. But that doesn't mean that sin is not going to be around anymore. It just simply means He delivered us once. He delivered us from where we were at. But we still need to be saved from where we're going and where we were at. And we need to be saved from where we're at today and where we're going tomorrow. But I tell you, church, it's so easy to get off the track. It's so easy not to say to yourself that, Lord, life is so hard. But I know even though life is hard, not too many people want to give it up right now. Most of us would just like to bear it out as best as we can. And so I ask the question once again this morning, are you ready to meet the Master? Are you ready to meet Him who delivered us? Are you ready to turn your life over to Him? And it's a very easy thing. I've already went through the steps with you, but I'll go through them again. You've got to hear the gospel, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized. And once you get there, some folk, and I'm not talking about anybody here, some folk have a problem staying there. Some folk have a problem in staying where they need to stay. If you have a problem staying where you need to stay, you need to trust in someone who can help you to stay. You need some staying power. And that staying power is the Master, He who has already delivered us. That staying power can only come through Jesus Christ. That staying power is where we need to be today. Not tomorrow, but right now. See, tomorrow is not promised to us. Tomorrow is not promised to us, and all we have is this very moment right now. We don't even have the next hour from now. I know of people who have said to themselves, well, things are good right now. I don't need nothing right now. I don't need nobody right now. I don't need nothing right now. And then the next time you see them, they want to cry on your shoulder because things are so bad. Well, see, now I'm not saying that as a Christian you're not going to have bad times. I'm not saying that as a Christian life is going to be like a bed of roses. And I'm not saying especially that as a Christian you're not going to suffer, because you are. If there was a way that I could tell you that you wouldn't be persecuted, I would. But you are going to be persecuted. If there was a way for me to tell you that there would be no trouble in your life, I would. But I don't know how. I don't know of any way to tell you that you would not have any troubles in your life. Because Job said it in the long ago, man that's born of a woman is full of trouble in a few days and full of trouble. So you're going to have troubles. But I know a man this morning that can take all of your troubles away. Maybe not as fast as you want him to take them away, but he can take your problems and troubles away. So this morning, do you want to meet Him? If you want to meet Him, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.